I want to talk more about the risk management function, the risk management business process, and I want to distinguish between two types of risks. There's a risk that you manage and a risk that you minimize. So an example of a risk that you manage is a risk that the 10-year bond goes up by 200 basis points. So that's a type of a risk that you manage to. Something that you would minimize, an example would be a rogue trader, somebody without your authorizing it makes some wild trades and loses a lot of money. That's actually a pretty common phenomenon. I'll talk about it later. So the risk that you manage to are scenarios. So there are scenarios that you can't really control. Okay, as an individual firm, you can't control the 10-year treasury bond going up 200 basis points. Let's say that happens in 1 year. So 1 year from now, it goes up 200 basis points. That's a scenario. It's something that can happen. You can't control it, but you can control your exposure. So you can determine whether your company will lose money if the 10-year bond goes up by 200 basis points in the next year, and how much money your company will lose. So you can control your exposure, but you can't stop it from happening. On the other hand, something like a rogue trader, you can make some effort to avoid losing because of a rogue trainer. You can put in good controls, audits, position limits, incentives. There are all sorts of ways to try to deal with that. And the other examples of something you would try to minimize would be some kind of catastrophic computer failure or something. That would be another example of something you'd be trying to minimize. What I want to focus in this talk is on this process of dealing with risks you manage, with a big focus on interest rate risks. Okay, so that, you know, this example of, you know, the 10-year treasury bond goes up 200 basis points 1 year from now, what's your exposure? That's kind of the typical example I have in mind. So it's a scenario that you can't control. It's in some ways inherent in the business. You know, if you're in the mortgage lending business, chances are you're going to be affected in some way by movements in the 10-year bond rate. And again, you can take steps to try to control your exposure, limit your exposure, but you have to respond in some way. You can't just dictate that the 10-year bond rate isn't going to move. What I wrote over here is the role of stakeholders in the process. Okay, because when you're minimizing risk, your stakeholders, which would be, if you're a private firm, your shareholders and your regulators, you know, those are kind of the people that you're managing risk for, the shareholders and the regulators. If you're a regulator yourself, then you could say that the stakeholders are the taxpayers. So you want to, with the risks that you're trying to minimize, you know, you're just trying to minimize them for the stakeholders. You don't really, there's not a big communication issue or negotiation issue with the stakeholders. You don't say to your stakeholders, well, we're taking this much rogue trader risk, and this is your exposure, and so on. That's typically not the way, it's not a communication negotiation business. So it's more, you're just trying to avoid, and you sort of, so you take, you know, how much, so the question is how much cost are you willing to incur to avoid a certain risk? How efficient and effective are your processes? So what you want to do is get a lot of risk minimization of the rogue trader risk at without incurring excessive costs of sort of having expensive auditors standing over the trader's shoulder every minute. With the risk that you manage, the role of the stakeholders involves a lot of communication. That is, you have to be able to explain to them what your exposure is, and in some sense, a negotiation. That is, you should have your stakeholders agreeing in some sense that your exposure is appropriate, that the risks that you're taking are are risks that they understand and feel that they're being compensated for. So there's a communication and negotiation process, and I want to emphasize how difficult that is in practice. There's actually a great book on this topic. It's called Plight of the Fortune Tellers by Ricardo Ribonato, who was a risk manager for a big, European firm. I forget where, maybe Scottish, I'm not sure. But he has written a great book, again, The Plight of the Fortune Tellers, and explains that it is very difficult for any one person in a complex financial organization to be able to measure and summarize the financial risk in the firm. It's extremely difficult to communicate, to even assemble all that information, and even if you can assemble the information, very difficult to communicate it succinctly. So whenever you have somebody say that transparency is the solution, we need more transparency in financial institutions, what I recommend you do is keep a copy of this book handy, and so when you go to a conference and someone says we need more transparency, just slam the book on top of his head, because it's actually not a helpful comment, the claim that we need more transparency. It's people who say that are making it seem as though there's this slider, and on one end of the slider is transparency, and on the other hand of the line is opacity, and what you do is you slide along this line. And that's just not the way risk management communication works. The big challenge is figuring out what the risks are, what the exposures are, describing the risk properly. I can get into that, and I probably should get into that, but that's going to be perhaps hours worth of discussion, because it's hard to get into the actual risk strategy without talking about what your views are on efficient markets, on whether investors are diversified. Whether the term premium is something you earn money from. There's an incredible amount of financial issues involved in actually coming up with a risk strategy. What I'd really like to do at this point is just say that let's assume that you in some fashion have completed the negotiation, and you think that your stakeholders have some idea of what where you're making your money, where you're willing to take risks, what sort of risk they're willing to tolerate in some scenarios. Once you assume that, and again, it's a very difficult process conceptually, then you can get down to issues of policies and tactics. So the policies that articulate what sort of protection you're going to want in different scenarios. Just as one example, if the 10-year bond rate goes up 200 basis points, are you willing to suffer a billion-dollar loss, or do you want to suffer no loss? Could you tolerate a $5 billion loss? There's that kind of policy, and you have to formulate that policy around all sorts of scenarios, and then you can come to down to tactics. What are the tactics that you do? How do you measure your exposure to the 10-year bond? And then what instruments do you use to try to hedge that exposure? And what additional risks do those create? So there's as a business process, just dealing with financial risk that you're trying to manage. There's other business processes having to do with minimizing, but with the business processes having to do with managing risk are really quite complex in a financial firm. And I strongly recommend Ray Bonato's book so that you understand that it's just there is no perfect solution. You're never going to have a perfect solution. The risks are always going to be too complex for any to be easily communicated and understood. And so you're always going to be using some imperfect communication tools. You're going to always have a less than perfect understanding of the underlying risks. And that's a big challenge for people who are in the financial industry, and in particular, it's a huge challenge for regulators. And again, I'll try to get back into some more specific issues about interest rate risk management, but it raises a whole lot of deep questions in finance, and I'll have to go on at length to do that when I get around to it.